המחשב הטובה. We're going to talk about Nagina, about music, which, of course, everybody knows that the Gedolei HaChassidus, all the Talmidei Baal Shem Tov, saw as being one of the most powerful ways of expressing spirituality, and the Rebbe included. The Rebbe himself was a virtuoso at playing the violin, by the way. And at Malava Malka, in the tradition of Kuznets, his great ancestors, the Piazetz and the Eish Kodesh would play Malava Malka, and on different occasions by Chasnas would play violin. And he was supposed to be quite an expert at the violin. Thank you. So we can't, obviously we can't go into a whole comprehensive discussion of Nagina. It's one of the largest topics in Chassidus, but to see some suggestions of the Rebbe in terms of how to use a Nigin in order to help in bringing about the type of a reaction that befits someone who fits into this category of his chabura of a b'nei machshava tov. So on page 41, Ois Yud Ches, Isa b'sefer beis Aaron, al posuk tashuri merei shamona, it says in Shir Hashirim, tashuri merei shamona, which literally is talking about seeing from the top of a mountain, from the top of a mountain, it was called Amona. But Chazal and the Svarma Kedoshim interpret this as being Mirei Shamanah from the beginning of one's faith. And it says in the Beis Aaron from the Kalina, the Gresta Amuna Vifla Yidhat Zingin Deroish Darfun, which means that the greatest and most joyful expression of faith by a Jew is when he sings out. That was Tashuri, which means to see, like Ashurenu v'lo'ata, which means to see. Meirosh Amona, from the top of this mountain that's called Amona, the Stalin of the Tzaddik said that it means that if somebody wants to experience the greatest and the most joyous level of faith, then there's Meirosh Amona. Meirosh Amona means the highest level, the beginning of Amuna. The surest way to accomplish that is Tashuri, which is from the Lashon of Lashir, which is to sing. So the greatest expression of faith by a Jew is when he sings. Tashu mirei shaman. Ein kavana senu levaris inin hanagina, vaylam hanagina bazeh. I'm not coming here, he says, to explain the whole inin of music, of nagina, vaylam hanagina bazeh. It's a huge topic. Ki dibarnu atarak eich yidla kol ish beze masav shehu. What we're discussing now, the Rebbe says what we're discussing now, is how is it possible for every Jew, no matter what matzav he's in, no matter what situation he's in, how is it possible for him to draw Mayim Chaim Mimkor Nishmaso? How could he draw the living waters from the source of his neshama? Remember that the point here, the purpose of this entire kuntras, of this entire little sefer, is to teach us methods, to discuss with us ways of drawing out the neshama, of finally getting rid of a superficial, shallow way of expressing ourselves, of living, and trying to find within us a way of revealing the neshama. That's been the entire discussion. How does one reveal one's nefesh, one's soul? So the Rebbe says that Nagina, song, is one of the most powerful ways to reveal one's soul, regardless of what matzav he's in. He could reveal that living voice, that sound that is within him. You might want to ask Akasha. You could ask Akasha, don't we see that there are many chazonim and the great singers whose hearts are far from Hashem? Whose hearts are very far from Hashem? Ein emunah ve'ein lev, rachmanah litzlan. They have no faith and they have no heart. Va'afilu ben ha'akum yesh menagnim. And even among the non-Jews, even among the Akum, the Goyim, there are people who are great singers. Kian nigun, so yesh kakasha, so what is it about a nigun that's so spiritual? Kian nigun hurak min gilu ha'nefesh v'ha'gizhaseha. So the Rebbe tells us at the very beginning, all the nigun is, all that a nigun, a song is a way of revealing what is hidden within you. It's a way of revealing your nefesh, your emotions. Umizgala b'diba shemadaber ha'ish al chaveir asmach shavoysev ha'gishoysev shal tsar v'shal simcha v'yoysev b'kolo. And what will emerge in that song, what will come out in that song of the person, are his emotions either of joy or of sadness. K'moish yisev b'svar makadoshim, raya alze, shakashit tizgaber tsar v'shal odom chasa sholem, Iev shalai kvar ledaber rak tzayik aboicha b'kolo levad, that we see. That when a person is in a state of complete anguish, when he feels a great deal of anguish, he can't even speak anymore. He's not able to speak. He has to cry. He has to scream. In other words, words. We see this. We see this from our daily lives. That words will not satisfy the deepest emotion. Words will not allow us to express the deepest emotions, even if it's a deep emotion of sadness. Or of joy. It's only when you raise your voice, when you use your kol. It's only when the voice is given the freedom to express itself, can one relieve oneself from carrying those great emotions that were bottled up within. The words will not suffice at that point, even if it's something stupid, even if it's something ridiculous. So the person will start screaming. There has to be a kol. We'll start crying, but the words themselves will not be enough. Now, of course, to learn this properly, and I've spoken about this over the years, especially years ago, I gave a whole series of shiurim, around 40 shiurim to women here on the subject of tefillah. I spent around 5 or 6 shiurim on the subject of kol, of what is sound, what is the voice. And that's all really the essence of negina. One has to, in order to understand the essence of negina, one has to know the meaning of what the kol is. In terms of the entire ma'areches, in terms of nefesh, ruach, neshama, where does the voice fit into the essence of a person? But this we know, without going into details, but this we do know, that when a person feels anything, any extreme emotion, it cannot be expressed in words, it comes out with a sound. Lachain, therefore, hanigan, shehu kailas, next page, shehu kailas smechim, omeririm. Therefore, a nigun can contain within it, and there are different types of nigun. A nigun can contain within it sounds that are filled with joy, that are filled with simcha, or meririm, or sounds that are filled with a broken heartedness or bitterness. So these songs are ma'oyer as hargoshes ha'odam. These arouse the hargoshes, the emotions of a person. Or they allow the emotions of a person to emerge. Those emotions emerge in his kol, in his voice. Shebehem nitzutzei ve'evori ha'nefesh mezgalim. In a person's song, sparks and limbs of his soul are revealed. So what about these chazanim, who are rishayim, or far from? Certainly, if they're not rishayim, although there were many of those too, who are far from Yerushalayim. Or what about the fact that you'll have non-Jews, you'll have goyim that are crying over their songs and that are expressing deep felt emotions? So he says this on a shaila. The fact that a song has the ability to reveal one's emotions, that doesn't determine what type of emotions you're feeling or who you are that feels those emotions. That's what it means. What do you do? What's happening to you when you have strong feelings? There are people that'll sing in a bar because their team is winning. So araya, there's some sort of deep spiritual significance to that. It's only an expression of the goof of the body. Nevertheless, it's something that can't be contained within the few words of those people's vocabulary. It can't be contained in those words, and it has to find access. It has to find access to that nefesh, to that deeper emotion, and the only way that it's able to emerge is kol, in the sound, in the song, because that person is limited. When it comes to spirituality, obviously that particular person is limited, and the most moving experience of his life is that you know his team was able to carry the ball across a certain line, and that was something that moved him very deeply, much more than his own wedding probably. and because of that, he can't contain himself. He has to sing, he has to scream in the kolos abrokim. Right? That's just aval einot hechreya mayase ish b'shashem esragish. Listen, there are different people feel. There are people. A person feels a strong sense of emotion. Beside them, different people experience when they're sensing something within them that's very moving. For one person, it's one thing. For a different person, it's something else that moves them. So there's no one's telling you. No one's determining exactly what will this person do. Mayifal b'chelik nafsho shehizgalah. And what will take place now that part of his soul has been revealed? One thing is certain is that when you use your kol, especially in a song, you are revealing part of your soul. If the purpose of your soul, of that moment of revealing your soul, is to pour your heart out for your team, so then that's chaval. I mean, it's very unfortunate that's the extent of how you use your neshama. But if that's what, but that doesn't mean that it's not authentic. It doesn't mean that when the person is singing that niggun, or the person is screaming with that call, it doesn't mean that it's not authentic. It's authentic. It's just that he's authentically aroused and awakened and moved by the fellows in their tights. That's the only thing that awakens within him such deep emotions. It's like you have two people that are happy. There are two people that are besimcha. Zem ma'isi besimcha salavat is Hashem. So this one of the Jews, when he's in a state of simcha, so he'll want to serve Hashem. When he's in a state of simcha, in other words, when his soul has been revealed, and it could be for anything. It could be that his soul was revealed because it could be something that wasn't so significant, and then it could be that he's saying, through the use of a niggun, this is why a niggun is such a powerful means of serving Hashem, since the time that we were people, the Beis HaMikdash, and before, that he reveals the soul. Now, when this person's soul is revealed through the cult, through niggun, through some emotional experience, so he serves Hashem. He'll serve Hashem. And he'll add to his service of Hashem, there'll be more simcha in his avodas Hashem. And then you have another person that when he's feeling tremendous joy, when he's in a great mood, he's feeling tremendous simcha, the simcha will be expressed in a form of hoilulus, of screaming and yelling and carrying on and acting like an idiot. They both feel simcha. The question is, what do you do now that you have, now that your soul is talking to you, now that you feel some simcha in your life? The shaila is, what do you do with the simcha? So this guy waves a glass of beer in the bar, And the other guy in tefillah and Torah, whatever, he's pouring his heart with simcha in Tavaris Hashem, where he's spending some time in a real way with people that he loves. B'simcha. Kein gam ha-niggun. It's the same thing when it comes to music, when it comes to a niggun. Shehu echad min mafteches ha-nefesh. A niggun is one of the keys to opening up the soul. Shema oira oisa. It awakens, it arouses the emotions, the feelings of the nefesh. So it could be with one person when he opens his soul, and part of his soul is able to emerge, part of his soul is able to come out. So not only will he do nothing productive or constructive with that part of his soul that he's drawn out of himself as a result of the song, it could be that other rabbi, that the person could cause greater damage to his neshama as a result of the emotions that emerge because of that nigun. He could be causing greater damage to himself. Huh? In other words, then what he's experiencing, letzad hara, in a negative way, is not superficial. It's something which is, again, there's a difference between, let's say, you know, appreciating an aveira or enjoying an aveira, and then singing a niggun for an aveira, you know. So the meaning, the difference is how much koiches and nefesh is one investing into an act that he does in this world. So the niggun will be that key that will open up his hargoshes, that will allow his emotions, that part of his nefesh, to be revealed. But then the question is, what do you do now that part of your nefesh has been revealed? That's up to man's free choice. So the one person, when his nefesh is revealed, he'll throw himself into something which could be, God forbid, ra, which could be evil, but in a very emotional and strong way, not in a casual way. Another person will throw himself into something which is a mitzvah. B'kedusha b'tar will throw himself into something which is good, but in a very strong emotional way. But he won't remain complacent. A niggun, it's very difficult for a person to remain complacent. You know, you'll see people that their existence is on a very, very shallow level, but even such an individual, when they play their music, whatever that music is that gets that person excited, you see that it awakens a certain hergish that's really quite remarkable. And it definitely could be said to be something which is spiritual. Although what is that spiritual experience revolving around? It's revolving around some people that are like, you know, you'll excuse me, like grepsing on a making horrible sounds, or singing songs that are obscene, or songs that are disgraceful. But the emotions are revealed, so the person could be closing his eyes. If the volume would be turned down, if you wouldn't be listening to the song, if we would just look and see a room where there's a certain kind of music that's playing. And it could be the craziest music in the world. And we wouldn't hear that. We'd be standing in a room outside where we can't hear the song at all. We'd just be looking in. So you'd see like hundreds of people. It would look like it's Ne'ilah. Looks like it's Ne'ilah. And then if you open up the volume, you think they could be singing, it's crazy, some crazy song. You know, I was telling you, whatever, you know, knife your mom, you know, kill your girlfriend. And everybody's, you know, like with the eyes closed. It's like when Shokalim. You know, and everybody's moving, and you'd think that there's an unbelievable spiritual thing that's taking place. And the answer is, there is. There is something spiritual that's taking place. It's a pachad. It's scary. There's something spiritual that's taking place. However, within the limited realm of those, of the bechira of those people who are experiencing that song in that room, that's where they throw their heart. That's where they pour their emotions. You're asking in a very... What do you mean by that?
I don't know. People like listening. It's kind of strange form of... It's filling your soul out on the table. I don't know. It
certainly can be a very major part in Avodah Zarah, as music always was and is till today. There certainly is a koach of... I don't know what you mean when you ask this. Some people, when they ask, is that a Avodah Zarah? They mean, is it literally idolatry? I'm assuming you don't mean that it's literal idolatry.
It's like very loud music, and they're like punching each other, like this slam dancing stuff.
I'm not familiar with that, but I don't know. I don't know. People hit each other when they sing. But you mean there's a niggin for that too? You mean there's a niggin for beating someone up? You sing a niggin, then you... Yeah?
Is it a type of, it's not outright idolatry
if that's what you mean, but certainly it is, certainly there is in music there's music was used and is used till today as a very powerful means of expressing idolatrous feelings. There's no question about it. And the Rambam wrote about this way a long time ago. The Rambam wrote about how there's nothing as powerful as music to draw a person into that world of Avodah Zarah. There's no question. Music is a very, very, has a very powerful effect on people. And that's something which... Sure. I said we shouldn't hear the kid. But
the bells ringing at night?
It's always accompanied with Nagina, because the understanding is that what the Rebbe is saying is that Nagina has the ability to reach into that part of the self. It comes from a place, I once spoke about this years ago, a shiur called The Power of Music that I gave years ago that I got into a lot of trouble for with me, a lot of people. But not that I don't retract a word of it, maybe I shouldn't have said everything outright. I should have said it over a couple of years, but I said it all in one shot. But there was that music comes from the place of Nevuah. It comes from a very deep place. It comes from Netzach and Hayd. It comes from a place of prophecy. And it all depends upon who is the person that's exposed to the Nagina, to the Nigin. It all depends. But certainly, Yosef, those people who are more closely associated to passionate Avodah Zarah, which nowadays this is not, generally we don't see this so much, but those people who are attached to passion Avodah Zarah, for instance, among the simpler people, or let's say gospel music, or you have among the people that were raised, let's say, in the black churches, where there was where music was a major, major part, and still is, of their ceremony. There's something very, very basic that's awakened, that's aroused by using that music. And the people experience the deepest emotions they're capable of, which is something which is very fascinating. And there's something very moving about it. There is something very moving about it. But I mean, Sad the pashtus of those people, that carries them to the furthest corner of their spiritual experiences. So to say that it is Avodah Zarah, that's a very strong way of saying it. That it can be, and that it's an element that is used powerfully in Avodah Zarah, that's for sure is true.
Many rabbis have said that just in a melody, even without words, there could be two men in a melody. But that's not what the Rebbe is saying.
The Rebbe was not talking about that. It depends, like Rabbi Nachman says there in the Lukut Amran, it depends upon who's the menagin and what his thoughts are, where they're coming from. It's certainly, the Rebbe is talking about that Nagina, regardless of where it comes from, Nagina has the ability to reach into a person. If that person is a Tameh, then certainly we're going to talk about it, then certainly the Nigin will reveal the Tumah that's within the person. And we see that. That's why music is so unbelievably dangerous, more so than the television and the movies. Music has a greater koach over people than any of these other forms of communication. Music is the most powerful, because when the kids, whether kids or adults, when they're listening to the Nigunim of Rishoyim, of people who are very extremely base, of people who are very vulgar and obscene people. So even if that person is singing a lullaby, but the lullaby is coming from the soul of a person who is extremely, extremely far from holiness, then you have to realize that nefesh is being revealed in that song, and the one who listens to that song is affected by that nefesh. Therefore, even if for some reason you'd have one of these rap singers sing the Star Spangled Banner, sing the national anthem, say this is very nice, it's beautiful, then actually you should know that he invests or she invests into that song koiches to come from a place of impurity, and whoever listens to that is affected by it. You're coming into contact when you hear music that's impure. That's coming from a person who's impure. You have to realize that it has an effect upon you, upon your children. And personally, I believe that a lot of the decadence that has now taken over society can, to a large extent, can be traced back to the effect that music has. The studies have been made. There are many studies that have been made. But the effect that music has over people is something which is immeasurable. And people are listening to the Nigunim of Rishoyim. It's a pachad, the effect that it has on a person. So that's the Rebbe is saying. He says, "Mekom akom lo levachin aisa by muumelo." It paygim mechelik nafshazed. Listen, this person
when his nefesh is revealed, his soul is revealed, he could cause greater damage. It would have been better to leave the nefesh alone. In besimcha shel hailulus, it could be just a simcha shel hailulus. It could be some disgusting way of expressing simcha. I beshvius alev shel atzis v'yeyush. God forbid. You see that there are many, many sad songs and ballads, which might sound very sweet. There are songs that have an effect over a person that it makes the person feel depressed. Depression is something that comes from the sitracha, comes from the other side. Depression is something that's forbidden for a Jew. We have to remove ourselves as much as possible from depression. But there are negunim that they draw a person into the depression. That's what very often you have nowadays, since most of these people, most of these singers are terribly depressed. Most of them are clinically depressed, terribly depressed. So the effect that the music has is that it does infuse depression to the people who are listening. And whether you think you believe in that or not, that's something that is discussed at length in the Sifrei Kabbalah. The Ramak in Paradis Yomayim, the Sifrei Kabbalah, and in the Talmud of Baal Shem HaKadosh discusses at length that the mood or the emotion of the person who is singing has an effect upon the person who's hearing. And since nowadays most of these chevra are terribly, terribly depressed, zebrachana people. So even if they sing Havanagila, you know, even if they sing Havanagila, it has a very detrimental, depressing effect on a person. Even though B'Shas Ma'aseh, everybody's you know, kicking off their shoes and having a great time. But then, you know, they go home and they want to kill themselves. That's what's happening. You would think with all of the singing, you'd think with all of the negunim that everybody's listening day and night, you know, to the radio, to see that you think that everybody, there'd be so much simcha in the world. There's so many simcha negunim. You think there'd be so much simcha. And the world is more suicidal than it ever was. The negunim are not bringing more simcha. The negunim are exposing to innocent people to people who aren't aware of the effect that it has upon them. It's exposing them to the deepest emotions of human beings who are best are mutations of some sort, who are not bechlal able to live up to the name of Adam. And the children that listen to this, you shouldn't underestimate it, because you think, what's the big deal? Everybody's doing it. it destroys a child. It destroys, even though you're saying, what do you mean? I listen to the, you know, I used to listen to this, I listen to that. All of us listen to music in the past, and you see what a tzaddik, you see what a tzaddikim. So what did it do? So... That also depends upon who's playing it. The Rebbe's not just talking about with a kol, also with a kli. That's something though that with a musical instrument. That's certainly is something also very, very powerful. It's a form of using one's kol, but since the kol, since one's voice is limited, so the musical instrument is used as a way of expressing one's kol when one can't reach that type of a. Like, you know, like I know that if someone, when I hear the violin, even if somebody just plays anything that anybody plays on the violin, right away I start to cry. The violin, I feel like it's something which, you know, it just touches a place that's very deep inside of a person. Has that koyach. I mean, different people experience that in different ways, but it's a kol. But one is unable to use his own kol, so he extends the kol into the musical instrument. So why did you say but the Levim? Of course they were using it. That's not a contradiction to what we're learning. That's exactly the point. That's exactly the point. Of course the Levim are using the Beis HaMikdash. It's exactly the point.
Sometimes with these old Hasidic Negunim, even though they sound not so labeling, but they bring a lot of simcha.
Okay. Yeah, because they're coming from the place of simcha. Even though the nigun might sound like it's not a simcha nigun, but there are different nigun. There's merivus nigunim, there's simcha nigunim, but ultimately it brings to a simcha, because when you hear one of these, or you sing one of these nigunim, so then it's coming from a place of emes, of truth. It's coming from a place of the Rabbani Shalom, and by Hashem is ayiz v'chedva b'mkama, by the Rabbani Shalom is simcha, there's joy. You know that this is when the Tzemach Tzedek was a, little boy. So he asked the, his grandfather, who was the Tzemach Tzedek's grandfather? The Baal HaTanya. So the Tzemach Tzedek asked his grandfather, "Vos is a Yid?" It's a good question. What is a Jew? What is a Jew? Before, long before that became a subject, you know, to determine whether or not your yeshiva is going to get financial aid from the, you know, from any Jewish organization. Vos is a Yid? So the Tanya responded in the following way. The way that we know this, I'm going to read this to you because it was translated, I jotted it down, it was translated from the writings of the Rebbe Rayatz from Lubavitch, the Friedrich Lubavitch Rebbe, who recorded this in one of his sichas, once on a Yud Beis Tamuz, I believe. There was a sicha when the Rebbe Rayatz said over this maise, that the Tzemach Tzedek, the Esther Tanya, when he was a child, he asked him, Zayde, vos is a Yid? Vos is a Yid? So the answer of the Tanya is translated, that sicha that was translated into English, the answer is as follows. Listen. A Jew is a human being in touch with his inner essence. Yeah? A Jew is a human being in touch with his inner essence and possessed of the ability to unveil it and bring it forth. This is a Yid. Someone who's in touch with his inner essence and possessed by the ability to unveil it and bring it forth. How does one connect with one's inner self, one's highest level of soul above Chabad, even higher than Chochmah, Bina, and Das? How does one connect with that inner self that's the Etzem, the essence of who you are, and then reveal it in a mundane, finite world? So the Tanya said this can be accomplished through song, through Negina. That's what the Tanya said. So when the Tzemach Tzedek asked him, Vos is a Yid? The Tanya's answer was, someone who can sing. But he didn't, but what did he mean, someone who can sing? Anybody can sing. That's what we began with over here. Chazan can sing. This guy, this baseball fan, the football fan, he also sings. the person in the bar is also singing. You know, Vos is a Yid. So what he's saying is that the ability of a Jew to come into touch with his inner essence, and the inner essence of a Jew comes from a place that's higher than Malachim. It comes from a place from the Etzem, from the Atzmis, it comes from godliness itself, from Elokus. To come into contact with that and to reveal that, to bring it forth in a mundane and finite world, that the Tanya said that the Tzemach Tzedek takes place through the Koach of Negina. And the explanation, of course, and I said, I don't want to go into this in any way of Arichas at all, because it's such a deep subject. In order to learn it properly, one would have to spend at least a few months talking about David HaMelech and the Inyan of David HaMelech and what that means, and to understand Nevuah properly, in order to learn the Sugya of Negina, of song. But we know that the Svarim HaKadoshim tell us that the maila of a niggun over words, of a speech, is that words are a formulation of one's thoughts, right? When you have certain thoughts, you formulate, you take those emotions or those thoughts and you try to express them in words. And what you're trying to do when you speak is you're trying to bring down that thought that you have, or that emotion that you're feeling, you're trying to bring it down into this world, into words, right? You're trying to bring it into words. That's what communication means. You have a thought, you have a feeling, and you're trying to bring it into the world. You're trying to draw it down from the higher level of thought, or from the neshama, or when it's an emotion from the ruach, you're trying to draw that down into the physical world. So the Baal HaTanya explained in a number of places in his Sfarim that really words, the spoken word, with all of its greatness, because dibur is a gevaldige koyach, but words really actually conceal the essence of the thought. Words conceal the essence of the thought, And they're only revealing the externality of the thought or the emotions. That's the limitation of words. Words, sof kol sof, do not have the ability to express the etzem. The spoken word can never. We don't have the kalim in words. Even someone who is the most articulate, even someone who is the most poetic, words cannot possibly be the kalim to reveal the essence. In fact, what the Tanya is saying is that words actually conceal the essence of the thought. It's a levush. It's malbish the emotion or the thought, so that what? So that I could express it in a way that this person will understand me. But you know that one's etzem, one's atzmius, cannot be understood by anybody else. Even with years of therapy, there's no one in the world that can understand the essence of any of us. Can understand the etzem hanefesh. Because and that's why we'll often get frustrated. I'm trying to explain to you what's on my mind. I'm trying to tell you what's hurting me, and you just don't seem to have. You don't seem to have. In the case of therapy, that could be I'm trying to spend my last penny in having you understand me and help me, and it's not getting there. It's not getting there. Over time, certainly, the neshama on some level is revealed, but it takes a great deal of time. Masha'enikin, when it comes to a niggin is a pure thought. A niggin is a pure emotion without being diluted. A niggin comes from the essence. It's not limited to the words, which are part of this world. Therefore, a kol, the sound, and that's why I just don't have time to go into this right now, is not the place for it, but really I spoke about this at length in those Shirim on Tefillah. The kol, the voice, which is not yet in the levush, in the garments of words, is connecting the person to the etzem, to the essence of himself, of who he is. Yeah. Okay, so it depends. The different levels in the gunim. The highest level of a niggun is the niggun of a tzaddik. So the highest level of a niggun is the niggun of a tzaddik. And when a person hears the niggun of a tzaddik, then you're becoming attached to the neshama of that tzaddik. Even though you don't realize it, even though you don't know, there's something that's happening inside of you. That's why those nigunim that we have, let's say from Peditshava, from Mechel Zlotshava, that we have from Rabbi Nachman, the original nigunim. We don't have any nigunim, by the way, from before Chassidus. Try to think of one. Right? We only have nigunim. They have by the Svardim, they have melodies, right? And by the Svardim, there are melodies, and we have Nusach in Davening. There's Nusach. But as far as nigunim, if you try to find among Ashkenazim nigunim, you'd be very hard pressed to find. I'm not saying they don't exist, but you're very hard pressed to find nigunim from before the time of the Baal Shem Tov. Musical instruments. There definitely was music, and there's music that we have from the Beis Hamikdash. We have a kabbal that now in the nusach of Ashanim Kippur. There's still pieces of the songs of the Levim, the nigunim from the Levim Beis Hamikdash. That's why experts, musical experts, have discovered that whether or not that in the davening of Hashem Kippur, whether it's a Yemenite or Moroccan, whether it's an Ashkenazi, there are certain elements of the music that are identical. There are certain elements in the Hashem Kippur davening. There are certain identical elements that all of the kehilas share in common on some level, which I don't understand, because I don't understand how any of this musical, so I don't know how it works, but there's something that they share in common. So the highest level of a niggun is to sing the niggun of a tzaddik. Now, regarding the question of a person's own limitations, so let me just mention to you that the chassidim say about the niggun, there's a famous niggun from Kozhin Samagid. Well, the Rebbe was a descendant of Kozhin Samagid, direct descendant. The Chassidim say that there was a certain, I don't know which niggun, but there's a niggun from Kozhin Samagid that the Chassidim used to say that the Kozhin Samagid heard this niggun from the lips of Malachim. That they said, the old Chassidim said, that Kuzhin Samagid, and it must be that they heard that from the Magid himself. They wouldn't stam have said that. They didn't say about other Nagunim. It must be that the Tzaddik himself said that he heard the Nigun from. So the Chassidim used to say that Kuzhin Samagid heard this Nigun from the lips of Malachim. So they say that one of the Tzaddikim of the Chassidim said that the opposite is true, that the Malach heard it from the lips of the Rebbe. Listen, that the angel really heard this Nigun from the Tzaddik. It's not that the Tzaddik drew it down from the Malach, but the Malach drew it down from the Tzaddik. So they explained what did that chassid mean. So the explanation is that it was referring to the Malach of one's own self, the Malachim that one creates, meaning one's own angels are the extension of one's spiritual essence. They're both right. The Chassidim said that the Rebbe took this Nigun from Malachim. And the other said, nay, the Malach took it from the Rebbe, right? So it's not really a disagreement, because the Malach was the Rebbe, you understand? The Malach was the essence of the Rebbe. As you know, the Chazal tell us that when you and I, when we do mitzvahs, with every mitzvah that we do, we create a Malach, we create a Koyach. Therefore, we understand that if the Kuzhin Samagid was able to create such a Nigun, and not only that, you must be familiar with the fact that Nagunim were composed spontaneously. The greatest Nagunim that we have are composed spontaneously, and we have many stories about that. By Mudgets, it was beyond the realm of Teva. It was the most remarkable thing, because you had by the Tzaddikim from Mudgets, there was a question of when they went through certain experiences, Pasha closing the eyes, and then all of a sudden opening the eyes and coming out with a very complicated Nigun that even the greatest musicians in the secular world were astounded by, in terms of the complexity and the depth of the Nigun. Just on the simplest level, the nature of the Nigun, the complexity of the Nigun. And by Islam, we have Kiyadua from Baal Tanya himself. Baal Tanya was a very big Baal Nagina. It was a big Baal Nagina. And the Tzaddikim. That they revealed these Nagun and Badichev, there's a Nigun from Mechaz Lotsheva, that we have. So the Nigun that one composes, so if a person is musically inclined and he has that koyach to reveal the emotions in a Nigun, that's unbelievable. Then he's hearing it from a Malach. He's receiving it from a Malach. Or he's giving it to the Malach. But for most of us who are not able to do that, the greatest form of Nagina is to try to connect to the Nigun of its Tzaddik. When you connect to the Nigun of its Tzaddik, then the Tzaddik's Neshama becomes embodied in you, becomes manifested in your life. And it's a very, very remarkable thing to sing the Gunim of Tzaddikim. That's why it's difficult to explain this Indian. Really, we would need to sing a Nigun about it. The Indian of the effect, the impact that music has on a person, who you're hearing it from, and where did the Nigun originate? Where did it come from? When Jews sit around and they sing Koach Soif, right? We sing Shol Shuv's Koach Soif. Friday night, Koach Soif, no, Yom Shabbos, na, 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 na. That's from a Baron HaGadol, from Karlin. When you sing Koach Soif, you sing that Nigun, you're connecting to a Baron HaGadol, to Kodesh HaKadoshim, to the Kodesh HaKadoshim, Baron HaGadol from Karlin. You sing the Gun from Mizrach Magid, a Nigun from Mizrach Magid, you're connected to the Shom Mizrach Magid. and when you're singing Lahavdil, a song that's on the latest CD. And I got news for you. Even these songs, I'm going to be careful because I know you know that I can go into this Indian and get crazy about it. But even those songs that are using Psukim, but that are coming from this, that are song where they take psukim and they put the psukim to nagunim that come from such an empty and shallow place. Not that the tzaddikim did not use from the nagunim of the nations of the world. It's not true. They certainly did. There's no question about it. If you listen to some of the greatest nigunim, there's no question that there are strains there that were picked up from the people that they were living amongst at the time. That's for sure, and that's a davar shebekedusha. And the tzaddikim were able to transform all things of this world into kedusha. That's the point of being in this world. The tzaddikim were able to do that. But when you have some opportunistic guy, you know, that is trying to, you know, is trying to pump out a bunch of records for, so that Jews could also have their own rap and their own Goyish music, just that they put it to a pasuk. So when that began years ago, you know, Baruch HaGever, ba 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 ba, Mashiach, that whole Mahalach was brought the Jewish people down terribly, and we're continuing to descend into that place, even though the explanation is we got to turn on all the kids that are not firm and so on. Whether or not it has a place, that's not for me to decide or to discuss. I leave that up to great people. But usually the kids in the secular world are just listening to the stuff that they have on FM, and the ones that get all this stupid so-called Jewish music are the kids that go to yeshiva. So now they have they're able to imitate the non-Jewish neighbors, but the difference is that this has a pasuk to it, which is degrading for Torah Hashem, which is bizyonis for the Torah of Hashem. If one would understand what a negina means and how one has to be so careful with negina, bechlal, when you put the negin to words, it's a very, very involved subject. And I know that I appear to have very extreme views in this inyan, and I certainly don't expect you to share them with me. But I would feel this sounds the same. There are basically two or three. You know, there's the Gilligan's Island motif. Then you have, you know, it depends. You could have a little bit the 50s, a little bit the 60s. You know, sometimes. Then you work your way through the 70s and the 80s. So I try to tell the kids, listen to Shlomo. Listen here, Shlomo. Here's a niggin from Shlomo Carlebach. You don't hear the difference. You don't hear the difference. Then when you take one of Shlomo's nigunim, and then one of the modern chever, one of the new chever, takes one of Shlomo's nigunim, they could butcher it also. They could bring it also into the tumah. They bring it into the tumah. You could take, you know, Shivchi Kamayim and put it to rap. And they'll do it. They'll do anything to make a few dollars. And they'll take any pasuk, they'll take any niggin, and they'll destroy it to make a few dollars. Not that I don't want Jews to have a panosa. But if you've ever been to one of these so-called concerts, one of these Yiddish concerts, these Cholamoid extravaganzas, then you're seeing the most shallow, the most embarrassing thing imaginable. As opposed to sitting around on a Moshav Shabbos, a Shalosh Sudas, and Jews singing the Gunim. So you see the what could become of that, which is that thing which has the greatest Kedusha, can be drawn dafk into the lowest place. So does it mean that what are the kids going to do? What are the people going to do? There's no other way to... I don't know. That's not my union to figure out, you know, what people are supposed to do with their spare time. I don't know. It's not, you know, what they're going to do on Chol HaMoed. I told my kids, better we should go look at an elephant or something, than to make believe we're at a Grateful Dead concert. You know, make believe that to stand there in the presence of such gaiva that it's almost there's no room. You know, one time they say from the Baal Shem HaKadosh that they brought him to one of the modern, there was a modern shul. He was in a certain community, and they were showing him at the time, you know, things were starting to take a turn in Europe. And they took the Baal Shem Tov, and it was a gorgeous, big, beautiful shul. And the leaders of the community were very proud. And they brought the Baal Shem Tov in to the shul, and he came to the door, and then he stopped, and they started walking out. And they said, Rebbe, please, let's go in. So the Baal Shem Tov said, there's no room. So this is like a cavernous place. You know, there's room for 2,000 people with a choir, with who knows what. And the Baal Shem Tov said, and it was empty. The Baal Shem Tov said, I can't get in. So they said, what do you mean, Rabbi? It's totally empty. The Baal Shem Tov says, I can't get in because it's filled with tefillahs that never were able to rise to Shemayim. It's so crowded with tefillahs that never got off the ground. How could I even, I can't get into this. I can't walk in. There's no room in this place because nothing is able to be lifted off the ground. So when you go and you see that nigunim are being used, that the most powerful koyach in the world, which is the power of nigina, is being used, you'll excuse me, lahavdil, the way it's being used in the non-Jewish world, you know. So then I find it to be extremely disheartening, because there is such potential, there's such enormous potential, there's such. And I remember that there was a song that there was somebody that came to our school and was singing a song. I'm telling you the truth, and he's a very popular musician in that world, And he sang, and he's a very nice guy, very nice guy. But the words, so the kids played the song for me. It was the 50s type of a thing, you know. And it was a Purim song, and the song had a line that Esther Hamalka was a very cool chick. Esther Hamalka is a very cool chick. So then they'll say, listen, Weinberg, you want the kids to get turned on, you got to say Esther Hamalka is a cool chick. But I know, I feel like tearing Cree when I hear such a thing. Esther Hamalka is a cool chick. We want to lift the children up. You don't want to drag them down. So instead of lifting up their hasagas and teaching them the depth of Esther Hamalka, what do? We take Esther Hamalka and we bring her down to the madrega of the street. So Esther Hamalka is a cool chick. So now the kids think of Esther Hamalka like somebody from the projects. That's Esther Hamalka. You understand? She's a cool chick, Esther Hamalka. Our job is to raise up. Is to raise up the awareness of our children. Our job is to awaken the deepest and highest emotions and to use that to bring them up. That's what the Rebbe's talking about. What you experience with the Nagina can be the greatest heights, it can be the lowest depths. That's up to you. So instead of bringing our children to higher hasagas, so instead what do? We take the deepest ideas of Torah, we take psukim from Tanakh, and we put the psukim into the toilet. We put into the same nagunim that the lowest of the low. We take these things. You take Esther Hamalka and you put it into the garbage, and everybody thinks, isn't this? It's so cute. You see all the parents. Isn't that cute? It's so cute, so nice. it's like putting a gun to your children's neshamas. He says, "V'kevan she'onu chavra seinu l'shem Hashem hi." He says, since our chevra was established l'shem Hashem, for the sake of Hashem, v'roitzim anu l'hoitzias nafsho seinu, and the purpose is to reveal our neshamas, l'hamshila al gufeinu, but we want to reveal the neshama, the nefesh, so that it should be able to rule over the body. In other words, we want to empower our neshamas. Not the negunim that are making the body stronger than the neshama. All those nagunim are to do what? They're to make the body stronger than the neshama. The job of, he says, of the bnei machshava tayva, this chevra, is lahoitzias nafshas seinu lahamshila al gufeinu, that the nefesh should be stronger than the guf, that the soul should be stronger than the body. Lakoshra b'kedusha, so we want to attach the body to kedusha, to holiness. Ulavatal oisa ves atzmuseinu benishma shakai. We want to reveal the essence of the neshama, the etzem, benishma shakai. L'chein, nagilas atzmena berina unegina, shlavoid l'shamayim. Therefore, he says to his chevra, the Rebbe said, let's accustom ourselves, let's use the koyach of negina, but let's use negina shlavoid l'shamayim. Loishin etzdarach l'char b'negunim chadoshim. We don't have to, as part of this chevri, he says, we don't have to compose new negunim. We don't have to have new negunim. We have to be a bal menagin to make new negunim. K'moshe lo yinoymer shemisha reitzel l'samech et atzmo b'yayin tzarech l'asos yayin megito. The same way that if you want to be besimcha with wine, you want to have a little bit of mashke, that doesn't mean that you have to make your own mashke. You could use somebody else's mashke. You could get the mashke. You can get the schnapps from the store. It doesn't have to be your own mashke. You don't have to produce it. But the ikur is, how do you use the mashke? How do you use the mashke? How do you use the simcha that the mashke can bring? Right? The same way. If you want to use speech as a way of inspiring people, you don't have to create a new language. It's okay, you could use someone else's language. You could use somebody else's language. The ikur is, though, that's being used to find yourself, to bring out the inner self. So therefore he says, Kach lucha is a tenua shel nigun. He says, take a certain part of a nigun, a tenua, a movement in a song, a chelik of a nigun. Hasef panecha lakir, turn your face to the wall, or someplace by yourself, go somewhere. Or rak tizgur seinecha, or close your eyes, v'tachshev shuv, and think again. Shata Omilif Nakisa Kovat, the Imam is standing before the throne of Hashem. Ubishviras Libcha Balsalishbrech is Nafshikal Hashem. And with a broken heart, you've come to pour your soul out to God. Bishira Venigan, song Hayyotsimikarev Libcha that come from the depths of your heart. You will feel the joy of your nefesh emerging. You'll feel that. Im etchila hayisata hamanagen lufnei nafshecha la'orira mitar demasa. It could be that when you started singing, you were the one that was trying to awaken the soul from its slumber, from its sleep. But ma'at ma'at targish and nafshecha hischila kvar lanagen ba'atzma. After a while, slowly you begin to feel that, even though in the beginning you were trying to find your soul, so you were singing a niggun that would awaken the soul. But if you continue, then you will find that eventually nafshecha hischila kvar lanagen ba'atzma. Then you'll find that now, once you got the soul out, that the soul is singing. The soul is already singing. It's not something that's why also we always saw about the chassidim. I remember how shocked I was when I was a kid. So there was a rebbe that took us lag ba'omer. This rebbe took some boys to go to the chassidim of Stalin Karlin in Williamsburg. There was a besmedrish, and this was one of the first times that I ever saw such a thing. And I remember, so he took us there with like five guys, and the chassidim were dancing to a niggun. It was the same niggun for like 3 hours, and I couldn't believe it. It was like, look, there's no variety here. You know, someone's got to speak to the DJ. Someone's got to talk to this guy. There's no selection, you know. And I see like the chevra, and the more they're singing, these guys, and I was like watching this. You know, and they seemed like dragging me in this, but I was watching it, and it was hours the same niggun, and they're more into it, and I couldn't believe, like, why isn't somebody changing the niggun already? You know, and I didn't know why he took us here to hear one niggun. Let's maybe go to another shul. There's a different niggun. It happens. It was a nice niggun. I remember it out of Yom. It was a beautiful niggun, but because at that point it's not like you're trying to find something. At that point, the neshama has come out and is trying to find you. It's not that you're trying to find your neshama. Now your neshama is trying to tell your guf. Your neshama is talking to your guf, and the rikudim and the dancing and the hemshich of that niggun is all the neshama's effort to make itself felt in your mundane life. And therefore, adrabba, that's why it continues in such a way. It would continue forever. It would be Adin Saif, but it can't. But it has that koyach, and it has that power. It was always a riddle. It was always a wonder to you. What is a negina? Hakolis mahema. What is it that's so powerful in a negina? What are these sounds? Alias v'yiridus mahein, that the song goes up and it goes down. Why is it sometimes there's a shorter part, the longer part? But you see, whatever, you don't understand how it works, but somehow by singing this song, the nefesh is able to rise to the highest heights. And somehow it's like as if your neshama was taken into this symphony in Shemayim. And the heart and the kishkes and the essence of yourself is able to emerge with the negina. The derech hakayles olam, and your neshama is able to rise together with the rising sounds, with the rising notes of the song. V'aliyasen nefiloseh v'chol gilgulei darka b'kayle nechkakim. And all of the ups and downs of your life, of who you are somehow able to be revealed and are able to be experienced through the rising and falling sounds of the song. By nechrotim, and the song becomes engraved in you. It's able to bring out the essence of a person. The Rebbe says sometimes it can happen that you begin to say things. You begin to speak to Hashem. If In the beginning, it's your body that's speaking. But over time, the more you're feeling, the more your nefesh begins to be drawn out of its encasement, and it begins to fly. El al, it begins to fly upwards. B'midezu tazev es ha'olam. V'ba'omek libcha titzak nafshecha b'tfila taharet tfila l'Hashem. And from the depths of your heart, you call out to tfila l'Hashem, k'gayin eila, ribbono shel olam, in himel habrachmanos of me, and health me, and alinyonim, a gewalden geschwigen, Viligi Chapis, Rabbi Shalom, Rativ Micharois, Rabbi Shalom, Gevalt, help me in everything, please. Rabbi Shalom, I'm screaming, I'm calling to you, Rativ Micharois, rescue me, take me out. Maschel be Yeshua Becholin Yonim Shaloi. Umasayim Bitzakal, Atzilim, welcome to Philosa. It could be that when you began to speak, or when you began the Niggin, it could be that it was a simple, a few words of Tefillah, or it was a simple Niggin. But when it's coming from a real place, by the time it concludes, it's with a scream, with a cry to save you, to pull you out of the place into which you had fallen. And he says, these experiences should not be small in your eyes. They shouldn't be small in your eyes. You know, it's an interesting thing. We had here maybe 2 months ago. We had, you remember, Rabbi Yitzchak Ginsburg from Eretz Yisrael was here in the shul. It's a gewaltige mensch. Rabbi Yitzchak Ginsburg is a person of tremendous, tremendous depth. So you know, he composes nigunim. I don't know if you know that he has beautiful, beautiful nigunim on the violin. He plays the violin, and when he get, and I was I have never been there when he does this, but I was told that very often in Eretz Yisrael when he gives a shir, he begins. With the violin, he turns out the lights and he plays a niggun on the violin that he composed, and he plays the niggun, and then afterwards he says, now the shir is going to explain this niggun, and then he gives a shir for a few hours to explain the niggun. And and they just sent me from Eretz Yisrael that chaver, they sent me a tape. I mean, you can't get it in the stores. In the stores you can only get the popular things. But they sent me a tape of some new nagunim of his on the violin. I was listening to it last night. When it's something which is real, you have to hear it over and over and over again. It's unbelievable stuff. And then a person is able to try to understand the niggun. On the niggun from the Balatanya, of the four bavas, of the four tenuas, there's a niggun from the niggun from the Balatanya. That niggun, you know how many explanations there are of what the niggun means, a niggun is infinite, but to try to understand there when the niggun goes up, when the niggun goes down. if you have time, I would want, maybe you have to finish the sefer. Maybe I'll talk to you about. I'll give you some examples. We could even. It would be nice to listen to a few different nigunim and then to try to learn together what the niggun means. So to understand, what does it mean, a niggun from a tzaddik? A niggun from a tzaddik. It's a different bechina of being a Jew. The one connects to nigunim of tzaddikim. No, and then we can't imagine what it must have meant for the Levim and the Beis HaMikdash. What does it mean, David HaMelech? Can you imagine David HaMelech? No, we should be zoichim et Hashem to hear the nigunim from the mouth of David HaMelech himself, b'karv mamash.